Blog Talk Radio.
Are you barefooters out there looking for a new place to shop, eat, and save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right here, the check originally was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we are going to check out. View the books in your area before you buy. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Just click on your city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around town with your new Save Around book. Welcome to Barefoot is Legal Radio, where you will learn the benefits and your rights to live a barefoot lifestyle. And now, here to empower you and dispel the myths of going barefoot, is a full-time barefooter of over 15 years and victims legal advocate, your host, Nick Pierce. Well, hello, and welcome back to another wonderful episode of the Barefoot is Legal radio show. And for those of you that don't know, I am a full-time barefooter of over 15-plus years. I got rid of the last pair of anything that I had to cover my feet over 12 years ago. I'm the head of NP Media Group. I did a radio show called The Business of Arts, Music, and Entertainment for a few years, where I empowered up-and-coming artists in the entertainment business to advance their careers. I'm also a victims legal advocate standing up for the human rights that we as barefooters have. I'm also the executive producer of an upcoming barefoot documentary slated for major network release. If you want to be a part of the show today, call in. The number is 319-527-6208. And if you want to join our live chat room, just go to freedomizerradio.com. Also, check out our Facebook page and our Facebook group. You can interact with other members of the barefoot community throughout the broadcast and after. Join our group if you have not already joined. And again, that's on Facebook. Barefoot is Legal. Now, keep in mind, though, this is not a fish community. No. So for all you heavy breathing fun seekers out there, don't join to get your rock off on foot pictures here. No. This is not what that's about. We are here to educate and empower you to spread the message that barefoot and bare feet in public are legal. And with that said, now it's time to kick off your shoes, if you're wearing any of them or have any at all, and enjoy the next hour and a half of time that we have together. Did you know that there are different laws that are actually on the books that make no sense? And did you also know that some people think that being barefoot is illegal? Now, think about it this way. There are laws that, women are prohibited from wearing patent leather shoes in public. In Alabama, masks may not be worn in public, so I guess there goes Halloween. Let's take a quick look at Florida, though. In the Tampa Bay area, they're having a Renaissance Festival. They posted a hateful discriminatory statement on their website that everyone must wear shoes. So in that case, I guess the belly dancers and the historical accuracy are removed from this event this year. Interesting. Their agenda must be to be shoe salesmen for this one. And, of course, that also excludes the disabled. The disabled are not welcome either. But wait, there's more. If you're planning on traveling to Florida or live in Florida, you're going to be in big trouble. Because did you know there's a piece of Florida legislation that accidentally banned all computers and smartphones from internet cafes? And there's also a whole bunch of others I'm trying to think of. Oral sex is illegal in the state of Florida. You may not kiss your wife's breasts either. It's illegal to sing in public places while attired in a swimsuit. It's also illegal to skateboard without a license. Can you believe that? Why do I mention this, though? There's a lot of stupidity in this country. What I just mentioned are real laws. They exist. Guess what's not a law, though? Having to wear shoes in public or into public or private establishments. Why do people think there is? Well, there's a lot of fear about the unknown based on ignorance. Now, if you travel around the world, you will see all the most civilized and advanced nations have no issues with bare feet. Most. And you know who is number one that has the largest issue with it? Well, it's only here in the USA, the land of the free, because people are free to make up imaginary things, really. Well, three words have been notorious throughout our history, perpetuating hate. Well, discrimination is one of them. An unjust or prejudiced treatment of different categories of people or things, especially on the grounds of race, age, sex, religious beliefs, and all that. Bias, intolerance, narrow-mindedness, unfairness, inequality, favoritism, one-sidedness. That's really what discrimination is. Doesn't that sound familiar? We as barefooters hear that one a lot. That's really what it's based on. There's another one, oppression. Now, oppression is like the prolonged, cruel, or unjust treatment or control of someone or a group of people. You out there listening, do you feel that that's also you in your barefoot lifestyle? Now, in the final one, and this is where it all comes from, is prejudice. Prejudice just means prejudgment. A person is prejudged when they have formed an attitude towards a particular social group of people, having enough information on which to form a knowledgeable opinion of. Now, because our beliefs are the primary thing that determines what we do and feel, and even what we perceive, all prejudice can be traced to beliefs. People are convinced that African Americans, Muslims, gays are not as good as them, only white heterosexual Americans. They all express their beliefs about those people. Now, we see that a lot against us as barefooters. We choose a barefoot lifestyle. Some of us may choose it for cultural, religious, medical, health, lifestyle choices, whatever it may be. But there's a belief that for some reason, We're not equal. We're not the same. We may be dirty, poor, uneducated, and really it's just we are probably more educated about a barefoot lifestyle than those that are prejudiced against us, of course. Unknowledgeable opinion about. Now, a belief is a statement about reality that we experience as the truth. Think about that one. It is a fact about reality for the person who holds the belief. So when we hold a belief about something, we are convinced that we know the truth about that something. So, for example, there are people that believe that there are health department rules. Some people believe that those are laws. Some people believe that it's illegal, according to the health department, believe that the health department says that you must wear shoes in an establishment, even establishments that the health department doesn't regulate. People believe that because they're private business, they can do what they want. So they hold a belief about something, and they're convinced that they know the truth about that something. Are any of those true? No, none of them. Not any of them. It's not illegal. It's not against some health department. In fact, you search the health department guidelines in almost every state, you can't even find something about anybody having to wear footwear, including employees. Now think about it. How many states live along the coast? You hear people that say that, oh, well, the health department does say that employees need to wear closed-toe shoes or non-slip or whatever resistant shoes. They actually don't. All along the East Coast, there are bars and cafes and restaurants all up and down on the beaches. The servers are in flip-flops, sandals, and some of them even barefoot, serving food, tending bar. I vacationed. I know. I've seen it. So how could that be? The health department would have shut every restaurant down at that rate. So that's not the case. Thousands of restaurants, ice cream stands, bars, tiki huts, luau's, nightclubs, and all that. No one, not one health department has anything that really says that even the employees must wear a particular type of shoe on their foot. It's scary when a business believes that this imaginary myth exists. It's scary to imagine and for us to believe that they are handling our food and they are so ignorant to what food safety rules are in effect. I've confronted people about that before. They've said that, oh, the health department crashes. I'm like, oh, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, no, wait a minute. I'm afraid now. You're handling food and you don't know what the health department guidelines say. I mean, nowadays, you can just pull them right up on your phone, tablet. I mean, you can pull them right up in front of them. Search it. Here, show me. And they can't. It doesn't exist. They believed that it does. But in fact, no belief describes the truth about reality. I mean, without exception, all beliefs are nothing more than arbitrary interpretations of actual events in reality. Physical objects and events certainly occur in the world, but the meaning we give the events exists only in our minds, not in the real world. We project them out into the real world. Now, yes, people believe, for example, in this case, that they are arbitrary interpretations of actual events in reality, such as by order of the health department signs, that people with dogs can't walk into establishments, people in different types of shirts or no shirts can't walk into establishments. It has nothing to do with food safety. It has nothing to do with the health department. We all know, and I've said it many times, and you've read it in many places. By the time you get to the point where you're listening to this radio show in your life, You know that this is a myth started in the 60s and 70s. I don't need to repeat it and go on about it. It was just made up, said hippies, and poor black people couldn't go into establishments because business owners didn't want them there. They wanted to blame it on someone else because they're gutless stuffed shirts with empty golf bags. And they didn't want to be on the forefront of that prejudice, discriminatory statement. So these beliefs are based on maybe truths about reality, but all beliefs are nothing more than arbitrary interpretations of actual events in reality, such as those health department signs. Here's an example for you. If someone has been told since they were young that it is illegal to go barefoot, then they grow up and they think that that is true and they believe it is. Just like those health department rules. Most of us may already know, you know, those no shirt, no shoes, no service signs, no dogs, and all that are not true. But the more you bring up someone to believe that it is, then the more people think that it's true. Now, those events do exist in reality. Those signs do exist. But it's not true. I mean, there's been a lot of developments over the years. And people believe that some things are law. Now, here's a couple of real things. I mean, government officials have enacted shocking policies and even medical procedures that we can now look back at. And some of these are just, you wonder, what exactly were our ancestors thinking? Now, here's some common thoughts. You know, in the past, there have been many people who thought that certain things were true based on what they thought reality was in the real world. Simple things like the world is flat. The universe revolves around the earth. People believed in mermaids. It's amazing how much the human perspective has changed in the last 75 years, though, just alone. I mean, how about some of these things? Wife selling. Yes, in the U.S., you could sell your wife. They were property. That was a common practice. That was legal. Bare feet have never been illegal. And silly things that we look back at, even up until the mid-1950s. From the 30s to 1950, you ever heard of the rabbit test? Oh, this one was widely used. Female urine was injected into rabbits to see if their ovaries would respond to determine if a wife was pregnant. Yep, there you go. Some pregnancy test. People believed that it worked. People believed that this was true. You know what that led to? Lots of dead bunnies. Well, anyway, there was also things even older than that, ancient times, all throughout history, even until the 1500s, 1600s, the divine right of kings. Yes, it was a political and religious doctrine that asserted that a monarch has ultimate authority over man, deriving its right to rule directly from the will of God. You know, those were things that were believed. Was it true? No. But it was accepted. People believed in it. But here's something terrible. Something that can really relate to us almost. People like to use scientific reasoning for believing that we as barefooters may be wrong for doing what we do. I mean, there's scientific racism. I mean, that's the act of using scientific findings to investigate the difference between the human race. In history, these types of research, it was conducted under, it was conducted on suppressed individuals. It was most common during the new imperialism period. That was around 1880 to 1920, 1914, 1915, somewhere around there. During this time in history, some scientists tried to develop theories in order to justify white European imperialism. Since the end of the Second World War and, the Holocaust, scientific racism has formally been denounced. I mean, especially the race question. Beginning in the late 20th century, scientific racism, thank God, been criticized and just obsolete since. And that's, could you imagine that this has been going on for a long time? Well, anyway, we have proof with us today. I'd like to bring proof in before we get to the top of the hour. And
all right.
Welcome to the Barefoot is Legal radio show. Interesting topic today on how people believe that these things exist. So how are you doing, Proof? Welcome to the show.
It's not snowing, although some people here in Vegas have claimed they saw snow today. At least in my quadrant, it's not snowing.
They believe they saw snow.
Yeah, I walked outside, walked down the street for a good 15, 20 minutes looking for this snow, and just like George Bush looking for those weapons of mass destruction, I couldn't find them.
They believe they were there?
Yes. So, yeah, people are under the assumption of that certain things are illegal without doing one iota of research, and some people will take this to the grave with them that they think it's legal or illegal without doing any research whatsoever.
Yeah. And that's pretty much what today's topic is. Because people believe that these things exist. And, you know, I mean, hey, in their own reality, maybe they created these things to exist. Like I said, it's all based on the perception of what they think is real and their belief in it. But, I mean, really, I mean, it's really discrimination, oppression, and prejudice, which fuels all of it.
So, I'm just looking at our chat room. Are you in our chat room right now, powered by Flycam?
I am. I have not been in the chat room yet. I was a little detained getting up into the studio today at the office, and I have a funny story about that. If you want, I can share it now, or we can wait till after the break.
Well, I was just on here reading it. I'm just logging in now. And Sierra wants to join us.
Oh, great.
So, yeah, if you would like to have Sierra on as a guest, she's in the chat room waiting for the bat signal.
Oh, great. Perfect. Yeah. It would be great. Do you want to bring her on at the after the top of the hour break, or do you want to bring her on for a little bit now?
I was leaving that for you today.
Okay. So we'll go ahead and let me see if we can find which line she's on. Do you know which line she's on? I have 612-57.
She's in the chat room waiting to see if you wanted somebody to talk to today, basically.
Oh, of course. Yeah, we love to have her on the air. Does she have the call-in number?
She was the original host of the Barefoot is Legal show.
Oh, wow, that's great. I like it. We've been having nice little reunions the past few weeks, and this is awesome. Do we have, do you know what line she's on besides the chat room? Is she calling in?
Yeah, she'll call in after the break, she said.
Oh, great. Great. It'd be great to have her back on the air with us. And,
Just a heads up for all the listeners out there, we're having our quarterly town hall meeting today. It's a free conference call number. The number is in our spy book group. I don't want to just give our number publicly here in case there's trolls or whatever that feel they need to call in.
Of course.
Those of us
closed
that are
conference members.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And my goal here is to talk to our members and see what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong, what we can improve on, any suggestions people have, any gripes or whatever, this is your chance to talk to us. This is not a group that just because I'm the leader means whatever I say goes. It doesn't mean I'm a weak leader or anything. It means that everybody has a voice. And if you want to be part of our activism, I have no problem with somebody speaking up and saying, I think this is a good idea, or we should do something this way, or let's take a look at this. I want to hear from everybody else, because I say every time I'm on the show here that activism is a team sport. And this is not the Proof and Nick show here. This is This is barefoot is legal. It doesn't matter if everybody conforms to whatever whims and fantasies I have. The fact of the matter is people are still getting tapped on the shoulder and having their grocery carts taken away because people somehow still, without doing one iota of research, feels it's important to remind you that laws exist.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing the misconception that people have, and that also goes along with the story I'm going to tell about why I was kind of detained getting into the studio today. Quite funny. It's a quick story I could share now. I was right now this weekend. I'm some of the listeners may know, and as I've mentioned on the air before, I just built a new studio off in one section of the office that I run my business out of. And it was just a smaller broadcast studio to be able to do this show and other projects. And I smoke, so I wanted a separate space that I can just smoke while I'm on the air and not bother anybody else that needs to come in the studio after it, and my little ventilation system and all that. And so that was finally completed about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Well, now with the conference call coming up, there's some equipment and stuff that I wanted to pipe into the space to, you know, utilize it in other ways and alter it and such. So on the weekends, since this was something that we wanted done and we weren't able to do a lot of cable running and some other construction during the week because it would disturb business, I ended up coming in and I was running a little late. And Proof, I just knocked your line out there because it was giving a lot of noise on the line. So I apologize for that, but I'll bring you back in here in a little bit. So as I'm entering my office, my building, we have security guards that we'll sometimes employ sporadically. Just, you know, we have contractors in the building and we have barely anybody there. Like in this case, I'm going to be preoccupied in another room where I'm not going to be able to monitor everything going on. So I come up to the door and one of these rent-a-security guard company, you know, that we use, one of their agents is sitting there at the door, and I come in and he goes, do you have any weapons or anything on you? I said, well, yeah, I have a, you know, blah, blah, my gun. And he goes, and, you know, I don't know if the owner would want you in here without shoes. I said, oh, well, that's interesting. He goes, and we do require that everybody checks weapons at the door. I said, well, actually, that's not a policy of ours if you're an employee here. And he goes, well, I'm not sure about that, but I can check on that. But I'm going to have to, you know, only not sure if you can be walking around in here barefoot. I said, well, who said? He goes, well, I believe the owner said that. I said, well, why don't you call him right now? I said, I'm sure that there's an emergency contact number behind that little podium there at the little reception area. And in big Sharpie marker, there's a phone number to call. If you want, you can check in with them now. So he goes, yeah, if you don't mind, I'll go ahead and do that. So he called the number. I pick up my cell phone. I said, hi, this is Nick. And he just looked across at me and I said, now, if you ever say something like that again, you're never going to be allowed back in my building. I said, I need you to keep an eye on contractors. I said, anybody that wants to come in here barefoot's allowed in here. I said, as long as you check their weapons at the door. So, and it was just, it went from there. He goes, I'm really sorry. You know, I just brought up thinking that. I said, well, hey, actually, you know what? Follow me. I said, come up because I got to get ready for something. And I said, I'll tell you all about it. So he, we had an interesting moment there. And so that's that story. So I brought you back on, Proof. And I don't know if you have any remarks or anything before we head to the top of the hour for that break.
If the audio still sucks, just let me know and I'll switch phones.
Okay. Yeah, I'm still getting a little bit of a buzz there, but we're coming up to the top of the hour break, and like I said in that story, it's amazing how people think that these things exist, and sometimes they're maybe just brought up that way. But we are coming up to the top of the hour, and when we come back, we have one of our original hosts of the Barefoot is Legal show. Also on the line with me is Proof, and you're listening to Barefoot is Legal. Right back in a few after.
How would you like to make your work more enjoyable, be more creative and relaxed, all while sitting at your desk? That's exactly what my Serenity rug has done for me. This revolutionary footrest, I can't even call it a footrest, because this thing encourages movement of your feet, which results in more blood flow. While traditional footrests advocate the motionless placement of your feet, I found that I'm unconsciously digging my feet into the long, soft grass strands of the Serenity rug. It delivers an incredibly relaxing sensation that closely resembles the feeling of an exotic foot massage. If you have ever had a foot massage that made you want to stay there for hours, you know what I'm talking about. If you have not heard about the Serenity Rug, check them out at serenityrug.com and join the exclusive Serenity Rug community and enjoy a feeling of comfort and relaxation that most will never experience. They've sold out before, so I suggest you do your feet a favor and grab one of these. Again, that's serenityrug.com.
Hi, everyone. Here is a sponsor that you can help save yourself some money and find new places to check out. Save Around is a very popular coupon book throughout most major U.S. cities. With Save Around, you get buy one, get one free restaurants, discounts on many department stores, car rentals, flowers, etc. With Save Around, you not only fund our network, you help fund your family and save yourself some money while eating out. I have a family of four. A decent meal is upwards of $60 for us, and if I could save $10 to $15 while taking out the family, I am very happy. You can view these books in your area before buying. Please check out FreedomizerRadio.com and our BarefootIsLegal.org website for the link. Check out the new book, click on your city, and in a few days, you will be saving yourself some cash with your new Save Around book.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from libertystickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's libertystickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to libertystickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. Libertystickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Got a spare tire around that waist? Is your muffin top over the top? Do you binge eat uncontrollably? We are the government and we are here to help you. Here at our free FEMA weight loss camp, we have numerous ways to help you shed those unsightly, unwanted pounds. FEMA, or Fatties, Eating Mitigated, automatically has a communist-style weight loss czar that specializes in centralized weight loss planning and communal extended fasting programs to shed that fat away in no time. Skin and boned means extra tone is the motto. Just remember, there is no way you can do it on your own. We will forcefully assist you into compliance. Failure is not an option in this utopian wonderland. How fantastic. Typical workout regimes include digging ditches and restocking them with dirt, building railways and more. Get life skills while you get lean. How do you join? Simple. Recite the Constitution in a public commons or violate the Patriot Act that includes simple misdemeanors. It's really that easy to get your own fenced-in slice of Americana. Stop being a fatty. The state is your daddy.
Welcome back. Barefoot is Legal Radio again with you this wonderful Saturday. For the hour of time we have left, if you want to call in, the call-in number is 319-527-6208. Again, that's 319-527-6208. And today we're talking about how people believe that there are these laws based on their prejudice and how they continue their form of oppression and discrimination against us as barefooters. And it's amazing, even this day and age, there are people that still believe that there are laws that exist. Also with us, we cleared up Proof's phone line, head of the Freedomizer Network, and flying on the wings today of the Barefoot is Legal radio show. He's also here on the air with us as well. Welcome back, Proof. And we also have a special guest for you today, Sierra, who's the original host, Barefoot is Legal, who's had her chair filled many times. And we're going to bring her on the air. And so, Proof, you have this town hall conference meeting that our group is able to attend if they're a member and they want to get involved in the activism. Is there any particular agenda you want to throw out there?
Well, I just want to reiterate what our group is and what we is not. So I want to really push the message that this year it's less about the up close dirty foot selfies and more about what we can accomplish as a group. We have several people that are out there working on various projects to help our cause as a whole. And that's what we need to be promoting so that we can get our freedom. It's not, let me put it this way. If it's more important to see how dirty you can get yourself and show an extreme close-up on a screen without any writing on it, if that's more important than being allowed to have your freedom endorsed by the largest mall company in the United States, then it's the wrong group for you, possibly, because we're more interested in being allowed to shop at a mall and have the public, or not the public, but have the owners of the mall and the management company understand that this is about our health benefits, and that's what we need to be promoting, not I can get dirtier than you.
Well, that's just it. And it's like we say in the beginning of every broadcast, and I always say it, this is not a place for the heavy-breathing fun seeker to get their rocks off. This is a place to educate and spread the message.
Right, and if I'm not spreading the message, I don't want to be involved. So I'm definitely here, and I'm as on board as anybody else you're going to find in the group. So I'm here, and I'm in it to win it.
And that's great. So we do have our special guest today, Sierra Lawson. Larson, and she's also better known as Sierra the Barefoot Girl. She's the author, blogger, and barefooter. Sierra lives in Canada, and she's been going barefoot for about 8 years. Sierra runs the blog SierraTheBarefootGirl.com and recently published A Brief Guide to Barefooting. And she's also one of the original hosts of the Barefoot is Legal radio show here. She's here with us now. If you want to call in or have questions for Sierra about her book, and she's going to tell us a little bit about it, the call-in number is 319-527-6208. And Sierra, welcome to the Barefoot is Legal radio show.
Hi, Nick. Glad to be here. And hi, Proof.
Glad you came.
Still too.
Oh, I'm still here with us.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me. I'm super pumped to talk about my book. So the main topics I address in the book, why we go barefoot, why we don't wear shoes, what we do about health codes, which I'll go into a bit about that later. Is it legal to drive barefoot? What do you do in the winter? Barefoot running, what you should do if you can't be barefoot, and how you should get started going barefoot. So since you're talking about myths today, I'd love to just like dive in and read a section from my chapter about health codes. When some people start going barefoot, one of the main concerns is that they might be breaking some sort of laws or health codes. The truth is that there are no health codes prohibiting bare feet. No shirt, no shoes, no service, or NS3 signs may represent a company's policy, but they're not backed by any laws or health codes. In fact, NS3 signs are rooted in discrimination, not public safety. Many barefooters have been turned away by well-meaning shopkeepers and restaurant workers who mistakenly believe that admitting barefoot customers would go against health codes. Many stores and restaurants have even put up signs that say no bare feet by order of health code. As well-meaning as these people are, they are misinformed. The Society for Barefoot Living, a group that advocates promoting barefoot acceptance, wrote to the health departments of every U.S. state and asked if their state had such a code. I believe Barefoot is Legal is also in the process of updating those. Every single health department wrote back stating that their state health department does not legislate the footwear of customers or refuse admittance to barefoot customers. That's every single state, all 50 states. Some people mistake the no shoes, no shirt, no service, or NS3 signs that businesses have put up as law. Companies are certainly allowed to make their own policies of what they will allow their customers to wear or not wear in their restaurant, store, etc. For example, some restaurants will only allow patrons in formal attire to enter. This does not mean that it is illegal to have a burger in a t-shirt and jeans. The same analogy can be applied to the NS3 signs. Just because some restaurants prefer their customers to come in with shoes and shirts on doesn't mean that it is the law or that all restaurants must enforce this dress code. The NS3 signs are problematic in and of themselves because they are rooted in prejudice. When slavery was abolished, the freed slaves were still impoverished, and African Americans continued to endure poverty for the next 100 years under Jim Crow laws. When civil rights laws began to be enforced and business owners could no longer turn away people for the color of their skin, they turned them away for not wearing shoes with the very first no shoes, no shirt, no service sign. These became more widespread during the hippie and beach bum era as business owners wanted to keep riffraff out of their stores and restaurants. Eventually, the signs became associated with bare feet spreading germs, since barefoot surfers would often track in sand and water with them, giving the store the appearance of being dirty. Another concern that's frequently brought up by business owners is the possibility of barefoot customers becoming injured and suing, which is, of course, ridiculous due to contributory negligence laws. Contributory negligence laws keep people from suing someone for damages when the damages could have been reasonably prevented by the person who was injured or otherwise suffered a loss. So, for example, if someone stepped on broken glass while barefoot in a grocery store, the grocery store would be safe from legal action because the customer would not have been injured if they had shoes on. The NS3 signs have become a part of cultural consciousness and have resulted in a stigma against people who choose to go barefoot for health, comfort, or religious reasons, regardless of legal protections for businesses that allow barefoot customers. Many people dismiss barefoot customers out of a mistaken belief that being barefoot spreads plantar warts and athlete's foot. While it is true that the virus that causes plantar warts and the fungus that causes athlete's foot can be picked up when walking barefoot, it is actually shoes that cause the virus and fungus to grow and infest feet. Shoes are ideal breeding grounds as they are warm and moist. Habitually barefoot people have a much lower rate of plantar wart and athlete's foot, along with other common foot maladies. In spite of there being no health codes or laws regarding bare feet, people still experience prejudice and discrimination for their choice to go barefoot. Barefoot is Legal, a group that educates about the legalities of going barefoot, mediates disputes between barefoot customers and companies that refuse to service them under the pretense of imagined health codes or laws. In the face of ignorance, many barefooters present printed copies of state health department letters. These letters can be found at the Society for Barefoot Living website, barefooters.org, and at the Barefoot is Legal website, barefootislegal.org. That's just a sample of what I talk about in this book. And again, that book is called A Brief Guide to Barefooting. You can find it by going to Amazon and typing in Brief Guide to Barefooting. It's the only result that pops up.
That's great. It sounds really good. I mean, you really hit it on the head there. And, you know, it's really great that you're doing that, getting it out there and helping spread the message. And you started doing that even on our show originally when you first started.
Yeah. Yeah, they had me on as a guest for another Freedomizer show, and we got to talking about being barefoot, and I approached Proof and said, hey, do you want someone to host a barefoot show for you that, you know, has experience with this? And kind of one thing led to another, and I ended up hosting a radio show, which was fun, but I have no radio experience. And, yeah, you do a much better job than I ever did.
Oh, well, thank you. I should hope so, but or I wouldn't be here, and I guess Proof would just toss me right off the air if he ever wanted to, if I wasn't doing a good job. But so I'm glad you started this, and I'm really glad you're putting that book out there. Is it available again?
It's available on Amazon. I published it back in November. So it's only available on Kindle at the moment. Because it's so short, it's not really feasible to print it as a book. It's only about 15 pages. So,
okay.
Again, it's called A Brief Guide to Barefooting, and my name is Sierra Larson, if you want to type that into to narrow down your search results. and it's available on Amazon for Kindle only at the moment.
That's great. And so they're able to download it, read it,
yes.
And take it with them on the go. That's very convenient. And when's it due out, or is it out already?
It's out already. I published it November 15th of last year.
Great. So, folks, that's A Brief Guide to Barefooting on Amazon, on Kindle. And when you first started this show, how did you imagine this would go from there? What made you want to start the show?
Well, I've been blogging and YouTubing about my barefoot experience, and it just felt like another good outlet to kind of spread the word, be a barefoot activist, and get more people knowledgeable about what it means to be barefoot. There's a huge misconception that being barefoot is dirty and uneducated, and I'm sure you're familiar with all the myths.
Oh yeah.
Just go on any article online about living barefoot from any major news source, and you'll find all kinds of people getting all up in arms in the comments talking about how dangerous and unhealthy and disgusting it is. And
yeah.
We used to do a segment on the show where we'd go on Twitter and look up barefoot and some other derogatory word like barefoot and ratchet. And we'd read these tweets and laugh at these people and correct their misgivings about going barefoot, because so many people are like, oh, I'm driving barefoot, I'm so ratchet. Like, that's not ratchet. That's healthy and legal.
Yeah.
There's lots of people that are afraid it's illegal.
And legal,
but it's
too.
Not.
People think that there's a myth out there that driving barefoot is illegal. And it's funny, because I was actually going to get to something when you say those words, and how people sometimes look at different words. And, you know, barefooters look at them one way. The outside world sometimes looks at them another, like, you know, carefree and dangerous. Clean or disgraceful and unsanitary. You know, the barefooter looks at it one way, whereas some people look at it another. And this book that you're doing is very important. Hopefully that people understand that, you know, whereas we look at it as comfortable, some people may look at it as disrespectful. You know, if we think it's considerate, some other people may think it's embarrassing. So, you know, it's funny that you mentioned those words and what you're doing on Twitter and all that. That sounds really cool. So when is there any limit time? Is there any special on the book that you have going? How much does the book cost?
Not really. It's $2.99. So
mm-hmm.
You know, pretty average for as far as Kindle editions go.
That's great. You know, it's at that price point where everybody should just get a copy just to have it, even just out of curiosity. I mean, folks, buy this book. This is not a $15.99 book. It's $2.99. It's A Brief Guide to Barefoot. Look it up on Amazon, ready for Kindle, ready to take with you. Now, on the Kindle, does that also download as a PDF file for those that may not have Kindle? How does that work?
I believe it. Yeah, if you don't have like an actual Kindle device, if you have a mm-hmm. smartphone, a tablet, it can download. You can get an app for a Kindle app, and it will download it in there.
That's right.
Otherwise,
okay.
I think you can download it as a PDF from a laptop or a desktop computer if you don't have one of those devices.
Okay. That's great for our listeners to know, because I don't have a Kindle, pretty much everything on the smartphone. And now that you mention it, I do have a Kindle app somewhere in there that I, you know, use once in a while. So I'm glad you reminded me of that. So I'll definitely make sure I get a copy of that book. Again, that's A Brief Guide to Barefooting. Check it out. $2.99. You can't beat that. Act now and buy two. So how long have you been a barefooter? Are you full-time barefooter, 100%, 24/7?
I am a full-time barefooter. The only exceptions I make are when it's extremely cold. As I live in Canada, it does get very cold. It's expected to be minus 40 next week. That's Fahrenheit Celsius, because minus 40 is where it converges. But yeah, we're expecting minus 40 weather next week. So if I have to go outside, I'll definitely have shoes on for that, because frostbite is no bueno. my only other exception is there are certain religious ceremonies in my religion that shoes are part of the ceremonial clothing. I wear rubber-soled socks for that. But other than that, I'm barefoot 100% of the time. The only other exception I can think of is when I went down to Salt Lake last summer, and it was so hot that my feet were burning. I bought a pair of $1 flip-flops and wore them so I wouldn't burn myself. But shoes are tools. That's what they're meant for, is for extreme temperatures and for, you know, dangerous situations. Like if I was hiking through shale, I would probably put shoes on so I wouldn't cut my feet. But yeah, 100% of the time when I'm not doing something that would require shoes as a tool, I am barefoot. And I've been 100% barefoot since probably about June 2010. Before that, I was a part-time barefooter. When I was attending university, my school had a policy that we had to sign before we even attended there that we would wear shoes on campus, which was kind of a bummer.
What?
I actually got in trouble with my RA my freshman year because I lived on campus and I was going down to check the mail barefoot, you know, in my own apartment building. Like,
oh my God.
So we had
an
apartment meeting. It's like, is it okay to be barefoot outside? Cause we're technically on campus. Like, you guys this is ridiculous. So I kept going barefoot.
Oh boy.
But like to go to class or even to access the health center that was on campus to go see a doctor, I would have to be wearing shoes. So that was interesting.
Poor you. Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I didn't love it, but, you know, education, yay. But yeah, so after I left that school, I have been barefoot pretty much nonstop since then. I work from home now, which is great because I can be barefoot. I'm an author, so yay. But before that,
go.
I was working as an insurance agent / financial planner, and I got to go to my clients' houses, work barefoot. So that was great. Only situation where after I was 100% all the time barefooter that I was working and had to wear shoes was when I was working at restaurants. Because of the deep fryers, even though there aren't technically health codes saying that employees have to wear shoes, it's a good idea too, because again, they're tools and they're to protect you from dangerous situations. And deep fryers are definitely potentially dangerous.
They even have special fire extinguishers and fire systems for all that equipment.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
It's funny you mentioned, I mean, I opened up a restaurant and I remember when I was working on it and the health, you know, inspectors, and I have meetings with environmental and all that, you know, getting stuff done for that. And I just straight up asked them once, I said, so I haven't found anything. Is there anything? And this was many years ago. Were even employees have to? And they said, honestly, no. They did say that, you know what, you know, with your kitchen, you may want to if you're going to be in there a lot. And I said, no, I hire cooks. I'm fine. So it was kind of one of those, my menu, but here, once I show you how to do it, just do it. I mean, I always recommended it to employees if they're comfortable, you know, if they're more comfortable that way. To me, it wasn't a requirement, but again, it was kind of a sign here. We're not responsible if they chose not to. And that was just my opinion. So, and believe it or not, insurance never said anything about it. Health department never said anything about it. Safety, no one. It was never an issue. So.
Yeah, in my years of being an insurance agent, I never encountered any underwriting or questions in any application that said anything about bare feet. So it's where they say it's an insurance restriction. I've had people try to tell me that, like, oh, you can't be barefoot in here. Our insurance says you, that's not a thing.
Yeah. I know someone that writes policies for huge companies, underwrites stuff. And I once asked them, and I'm even interviewed them for part of the documentary that we're working on. I've mentioned a couple times on the air. And even he's confirmed that there's nothing in a policy that says anything where employees or patrons or anything like that have to wear any particular type of footwear. As far as they're concerned, they can walk around naked. So, as they do in strip clubs.
Might not want you for the customer's sake, though.
depends on the customer base, you know?
Yeah, I guess that's true.
If you're running a strip club, that's...
yeah.
No clothing required.
Good
at that
point.
One.
Yeah.
So you being in insurance, you've never ran into that either. And were these, you know, personal policies, business policies, or a little bit of both, or?
When I was, sorry, could you repeat the question?
On when you were working insurance, were you doing like personal policies or business, commercial?
I was doing pretty much anybody that wanted to buy health or life insurance. So businesses that wanted to buy health insurance for their employees,
okay.
Personal life insurance, retirement plans. Yeah.
Got it. Okay. Well, that's great. That's great. So we have it from another expert opinion right here on the Barefoot is Legal radio show. And your book again, we're on the air with Sierra Larson, who just wrote a book and released it on Amazon for Kindle. You can download the Kindle app. You can download it in PDF format if you have a Kindle, straight to the device. And the name of the book is A Brief Guide to Barefooting. And it's out now, and it's only $2.99. And she's with us here, very experienced in it, has been in the business, also the original host of the Barefoot is Legal radio show. If anybody wants to be a part of the program, 319-527-6208. And Sierra, you said that you have been barefoot full time since you got done with school and your education. How long has that been?
Well, just that school. That
without giving away your age, of course, I'll be a gentleman.
But, 2010 was when I left that university, but I actually have gone on to do other studies that they did allow me to be barefoot.
That's great.
At different schools, of course, not that one.
Of course not. It seems like it's a little restrictive, you know, especially in higher education, I found, you know, I've never known many to impose such restrictions. You know, you go through it maybe in grade school, pre-K, kindergarten, junior high, high school, they start to phase out. In most of my days in high school, I was barefoot, or at least walked around in socks. There were certain activities that I did. I was in marching band on drumline, where even at band camp, I would be barefoot. You know, one time the band instructor even said it's crazy because of the chips that they use as drill markers on the field that he was always afraid I was going to cut my foot up. And one day I was approached with a roll of duct tape, damaged for life. And no, that's fine. You know, I noticed that the higher up you get in the education totem pole, the more freedom and liberty you have. And that's kind of odd that the school you attended would make you do that. And, you know, I'm really sorry that happened to you. Oh, my God, it's terrible.
I knew what I was getting into going there.
Okay.
It was a religious school, so they had a dress code. So.
Okay, yeah. When you get into the private and religious schools, the parochial system and all that, then you kind of sign up for that. And so you were aware of it. It wasn't like a community or public university or state university or anything like that where they, you know, more liberal.
If I'd gone to the state university, I'm pretty sure they wouldn't have cared at all.
Yeah.
I've seen
well,
some
at least you didn't have to walk out and
the
requirement was to. Yeah, yeah. I mean, at least you didn't, one of the requirements wasn't you had to join a nunnery or anything like that and become a nun. So we're glad about that.
Well, yeah. They used
close,
to not
though.
Allow shorts. So it was progress when I got there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Starts below the knees and everything, you know? It's like...
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Leggings were also banned. It was a special place.
Oh, yeah, of course. You can't wear those tight pants, you know? So take those tight pants off. They're going to go to hell. So we're coming down to the bottom of the hour. Sierra, if you want to plug your book again, that would be great before we go into our commercial break, if you want to share with us.
Yeah, so it's a brief guide to barefooting, available on Amazon for Kindle. $2.99 is the price. I talk about why you should go barefoot, what the benefits of losing the shoes are, the legal aspect, what kind of equipment, I guess footwear, you can get if you have to wear shoes according to your job or dangerous situations, what to do in extreme temperatures, etc. So it's a great educational beginner's guide. Even people who have been barefooting for a while, I think, could benefit from it because I have a great bibliography at the end with all kinds of extra source material for where you can go get more information about pretty much everything I talk about.
That's great. Again, available on Amazon, Sierra Larson, A Brief Guide to Barefooting. Make sure you get it now. Get it as soon as possible. A lot of valuable information. And we're coming to the bottom of the hour and the last half hour of our time together here. Sierra, also the original host of Barefoot is Legal. If you want to be part of the show, 319-527-6208. Check out her book on Amazon, Kindle download, Amazon app, all that. And in PDF format. When we come back, one of the new co-hosts, our potential new co-host for Barefoot is Legal. Stay tuned.
Things seem to be going wrong in the world today. Every aspect of our lives seems to be under attack sometimes. Many struggle to make sense out of it. What is really going on? Identifying the problem is critical to any solution. Many people claim to have answers. But what is the truth? What works? What has worked in the past? History does repeat itself, and you must learn from it. You have choices. We cannot change the course of history, but we may change our role in it. All roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to the kingdom of God. The question is, which way are you going? Join us to make sense out of it all in the Sabbath hour at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time or 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an iconoclastic look at the world yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and hear about the keys of the kingdom.
Hello, Freedomizers. Joanne Moretti here, inviting you to join my great co-host Scott Ferrarello and myself, as well as our many correspondents and colleagues, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, that's noon Pacific, for Zone 13, the best fast-paced news, current events, and investigative report show on the web. We bring you the news the mainstream media won't. Please find us at freedomizerradio.com, where you can listen and chat. Again, please join us for Zone 13, Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific. Hope to see you there, Freedomizers.
Hey, Freedomists, join me, Proof Negative, weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together, right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Need a reason to stay up on Thursday night? Late Night Across America with Michael and Debbie is the new show of returning veteran internet hosts Michael J. Weber and Debbie Lewis. Late Night Across America with Michael and Debbie will cover as many topics as they can in pursuit of knowledge. It's the only way to make informed decisions. It'll be worth staying up for. So join us from 9 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. to 12:30 a.m. Central, every Thursday night on Freedomizer Radio.
Are you barefooters out there looking for a new place to shop, eat, or save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, on cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right now, right here. The check was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost us $82. At a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we're going to check out. Here's what you can do. If you want to save that much money, view the books in your area before you buy. You can go to freedomizerradio.com and barefootislegal.org. Just click on the city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around your town with your new Save Around book. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Click on your town and start saving money now. And welcome back to the Barefoot is Legal radio show this wonderful Saturday afternoon on the weekend. We have a half hour left. If we still may have some time for a few callers, 319-527-6208. Again, that's 319-527-6208.
We just heard from our wonderful original host and founder of the Barefoot is Legal radio show, Sierra Larson, who has her book available on Amazon called A Brief Guide to Barefooting. And make sure you check out her book. Only $2.99. Buy two, buy three. Give them as gifts. And some of the points that she was making hit exactly what we're talking about on this broadcast. And we also have possibly our new co-host of the Barefoot is Legal radio show. And Lava. Lava is here with us. And Lava, welcome to the Barefoot is Legal radio show for your first time, I believe. Well, at least since I've been on.
So, yes, it is. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, your barefoot lifestyle, and whatever you got going on there.
I'm a 24/7 barefooter. I do not even own shoes anymore. Everywhere I go barefoot. I've got my cousin going barefoot now. My grandson goes barefoot with me sometimes. My daughter and my son-in-law go barefoot sometimes. I'm working them into it.
Wow, that's great. Yay. Round of applause. 24/7 barefooter here, too.
Awesome.
Okay, so that's great. So we're going to be, I guess in the future, we're going to be doing some shows together as co-host. We also have Proof on with us as well.
Right.
Making sure we do everything right for Noon during this broadcast.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
So that's great. Well, welcome to the show. I'm glad you're a part of it. Another 24/7 barefooter. And you said you were barefoot for how long now, 24/7?
I've been 24/7 barefoot for going on a year. And last year I only wore a pair of moccasins in the wintertime because I was in Colorado. But otherwise it would be two full years except for wearing moccasins last winter. But this winter I'm shoe-free.
Great. A different climate or just used to the cold weather?
I'm in Texas now, and it is like 20 degrees outside, but I went all and about yesterday, and I was barefoot all day, and I wasn't even cold. To me, when I'm barefoot, my body temperature stays regulated better, and I don't really get that cold.
That's true. I did an episode about that. I think it was the first weekend of December, where I was talking about the transition of cold weather barefooting and keeping that core body temperature up and the grounding. Your feet actually stay warmer barefoot when they're in contact with the ground than they do elevated off the ground, even in a flip-flop or even sweating and getting cold and wet in boots.
So very true.
So, I don't know. Take it away. Why don't we I'll give you the floor for a while. What have you got? Right on the spot.
Oh, yeah. I don't like going into the stores and getting harassed, making to leave my stuff. So I'm really excited about becoming more of an advocate and learning that there really is no laws. And it took me a while to kick my shoes off. But once I learned that you could go barefoot and there's no laws to it, and you can drive barefoot, there's no laws about that. There's so many misconceptions out there. And I want to get the record straight and let people know the laws, that there is none, you know, and it is legal. And so I'm
really
excited
isn't.
to get that message out there to people in my area, you know.
Yeah, yeah. One of the main points I drive home on the show, and I'm sure you're going to have a lot to offer, you know, with your experience, your lifestyle, and your stories and stuff, which is going to be amazing having you on the show. I mean, today I'm just talking about, you know, I open it up with the concept of discrimination, oppression, and prejudice. You know, as far as that judgment that people have and how
believe
I get that
discriminated against, and I call them out on it, and I tell them, you're being discriminating against me right now because I have no shoes on. Yeah, I don't like it one bit. We were kicked out of Walmart the other day, and I emailed them and filed a complaint against their ethics committee because it's not right, you know, and I don't like facing discrimination for any reason, more or less not having shoes on my feet.
Of course, yeah, good for you. For, you know, doing that because, you know, we need to bring it to their attention. You know, when we go out to stores, restaurants, museums, theaters, amusement parks, traveling, whatever it is, you know, we can take on the role of ambassadors and promote. And, you know, a couple things that we can do as barefooters, such as what you've done, and educating people. And when confronted, showing them that it is legal and that there are no laws. I mean, having certain tools on you, you know, a copy of the civil rights cards for the state, the health department letters, a copy of the public accommodation laws, you know.
Yeah.
Having that,
I mean, I'm excited. I go into to businesses and I want to get the information out there and talk to the managers and be like, look, you know, you don't have to discriminate against customers. There's no laws. And I want to inform people, you know, the people who are in charge of their business or the owners or whatever, they're the ones who we got to target to get the message out that they need to teach their employees that you do not tell people to leave because they're barefoot. That's discrimination, you know.
It is. It is. And, you know, 2017, we can team up, and this can be the year that we start making some major changes, especially on these airwaves, especially on this broadcast, to get that prejudice and that discrimination, you know, and eliminate it the best we can. So.
Yeah. Maybe doing, like, some type of employee training where we talk to the owners of businesses to train their employees about it, you know, where that actually is a type of form of discrimination, and you cannot stop customers because they're barefoot, because they're uneducated. You know, they believe the hype of no shoes, no shirt, no service, and we gotta change that. We got to get the people who are in charge of making their rules in their businesses.
I can interject that there's cases also where the owners don't care what somebody has on or not, they just want money. But
right.
The $11 an hour minion employee thinks there's laws, so they feel as though they get to be employee of the month if they kick out their paycheck.
Right.
Yeah. Now we need to make examples out of
them. They're getting trained properly.
Yeah. Now we need to make examples out of them instead of being striding for employee of the month. They need to be a lawsuit of the month.
Right.
This would be the year to do it. There you go.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of the letter writing.
Lawyer.
We do have a couple of people that want to jump on the line, too. Lava, stay there possible co-host here. You get to meet everybody.
Yeah, I was going to say, speaking of contacting businesses and, the you know, writing letters and campaigning for our rights, we have Nick Deutschman, who's with us today too.
Oh.
And he's a huge asset to the group. Barefoot is Legal. He does a lot of our letter writing campaigns, our corporate communication guy, I guess, if you want to call it that. And I just brought him on with us, Lava and Proof, so that he can chime in on that as well.
Well,
welcome to the
show.
Hello,
everyone.
He's the Midwest regional director of the BIL.
What am I now?
You're the Midwest regional director of the BIL, aren't you?
I sure am, freezing my tail off, standing outside here, hanging out with the show.
All right, just making sure.
Well, congratulations on your promotion there, Nick Deutschman. Sir,
thank you. I think I already had that title. I just sometimes forget that I do have it, and I got to be reminded of it.
Okay.
So yeah, I've been in charge of when the complaints come into the barefootislegal.org website. I'm the guy who ends up getting them, do the research on what store to contact, how to contact them, and then when, you know, a lot of these organizations, they have, you know, just your basic customer service, and then you get your case ID number, and then I just keep following up on it. How far up the ladder can I get into this corporation to get an answer? If, hey, you know, there's no laws and your policy is fairly discriminatory towards our movement, and what can we do about that?
Yeah.
So the latest one, this one, I'm pretty excited about this one. And the reason is too many times a lot of these businesses just, they drop the hammer and they say, no, we're not going to cater to your demand or your question, whatever it is. A lot of them just kind of ignore me, and that's very frustrating. Recently here this past week, the Mall of America really wants to talk to us.
Interesting.
I had some interaction with security on Thursday, and I was actually shocked at how pleasant an interaction it was with this security officer I had. And she became really interested in our movement. And she directed me towards some places, that directed me towards some other upper management to be able to speak with them. And it got kind of weird. I think she handed me the wrong phone number or something. So yesterday I had gone back to the Mall of America I'm going to meet some people in person, see if I can get that way. The same security officer I spoke with actually met with me, and she says, okay, come with me. We're going to get this handled. So she got me in contact with the head of security operations for the Mall of America, which has a direct contact to the management team for the Mall of America. And apparently they looked through our website, they looked through a couple other ones, but still made the decision at this time, she said, that their code of conduct will remain in effect as of how it is written currently. But also added that the vice president would like us to draft a letter and open up discussions with him. And they complimented me on how pleasant and cordial I have been with the company. And so that's why I'm pretty excited to get this together and give them an awesome letter and some awesome research and whatever it takes from us as a group to be able to tell the Mall of America, hey, there's people all over the country that would love to come and shop at MOA, and if we don't want to wear our shoes, hey, that's cool, we don't want to. And maybe we'll change their mind.
I hope we do, especially if they want to impose that the code of conduct will stay in place. Do they mention if they're willing to make exceptions for people with disabilities, religious, cultural, health reasons, anything like that?
Yes. Well, the reason that the security officer that I spoke with, one of the reasons she was so pleasant with me, and she says, I am almost certain that there is another guy in here that I have seen walk around barefoot. So I know this is a possibility for you and your group. I'm like, sweet. So after talking with the security administrator, she had said that he has obtained a doctor's note. So the Mall of America management company has stated that this person with the doctor's note is free and clear to be barefoot in the mall because of that. Because I couldn't present a doctor's note, they were not going to give me the same. They weren't going to give me the same ability to do so.
Hmm. You know, what's funny is that you know, most people I've had an objection to. Well, can you prove that you're part of that religion? Just like, can you prove that you have a medical condition? And I once looked at the person when that came up, and this was a couple of years ago, and I said, how would you want me to prove that that's my religion? I mean, no one goes to a church and they issue them an ID card saying that they're Catholic. No one goes to a temple and they issue them an ID card that says that they're Jewish. You know, I think that sometimes, you know, people requiring proof to be sent that, you know, you're part of or that you have this condition – there's actually a part of the law which they're not allowed to ask for that, according to the ADA. It actually violates privacy laws. So there's another direction that could be, you know, sent from there. And we should definitely work together in drafting up.
The security officer is I had the web page up on my phone, and we were kind of looking through it because I wanted to state to her. I said, yes, I have read the rules. And I understand they exist, and as we're reading through them, there's a section on the rules right on there that states very clearly that, you know, clothing and attire acceptability code of conduct for the Mall of America states in there that no hooded tops, no things that cover or obscure your face and things of that. And we just kind of stood and looked around, and I'm like, oh, well, there's a guy in a winter jacket all zipped up, the hood's pulled tight. Oh, there's another lady over there that has one of those Middle Eastern headdresses on. There's a gal over there that's got a cute jacket on, their hood up, and she's kind of shaking her head going, yeah, I think we do need to look into our code of conduct a little bit. And I said, oh, that's kind of what I'm hoping to do.
Yeah, so, you called them out on it, and you found so many violations. You wonder why they're so focused on that when they're not doing their job with everybody else.
Right.
Exactly.
And
this is why I'm so excited about this.
That's pure discrimination based on hatred beliefs, right there. Classic example, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's awful that they're going to target people who are barefoot, but all their other code of conduct things that they're letting just slip right by, you know. And it's a discriminatory act for them to target us, and that's what they need to know.
But here's the issue is that nobody before really wanted to stand up for our group as a whole, and nobody, including another group that will remain nameless, that started with some activism in the late 90s, and they had a good five-year run. But there's no toll-free number. There's no group setting among peers. There's no support or anything like that. It was just a bunch of lone wolves for the most part. And nobody working together and nobody even thinking about helping another person. It's like, hey, if you want to do something great, just don't tell us to help you. And
right.
that's the angle that we want to eliminate. We want to stand together here and work in a team structure.
Yeah. And I did something similar to this radio show years ago when I was a member of that group. And I even, took out ads on the pharmacy bags. You know, to promote that and spread that message. Mm-hmm. And I would target the supermarkets that people would have issues in. And then buy the ad on the pharmacy bag so that when they'd have an issue, if they went in to pick up their prescription or something, they could grab the bag right at the pharmacy and say, but wait, on your bags, it says that this is legal. On your bag, it says that we have rights.
That's a good idea.
It was a tactic that I took. And you know what I got to tell you? It was like pulling teeth to get that support. They were not activism-minded. And I started doing a radio show called The Barefoot Show years ago under another name because of, conflict of interest issues and all that I could have encountered at the time. Nick, I think I've even sent you some emails from that as far as past correspondence I've had with companies. And that's kind of where I tried to do something like this many years ago. And there was just no support from that group. It was like, yes, it's great. It's out there. We just want to sit here and tell stories. And that's it. And one thing about Barefoot is Legal and this group, though, is that you have support. You have people like Nick and Proof and now Lava and our other hosts and so many of the other admins that are part of this. That are there to help you stand up for your rights. And Nick Deutschman, here's an interesting website, and I also want to throw it out there for other people that may want to complain and bypass customer service and get in touch with corporate offices. And it's called ecorporateoffices.com. And you can find the actual corporate contacts. So if maybe you thought that you were pointed in the wrong direction by security or, the mall, management. If you try out that website, and for our listeners out there, if you want to file a complaint or get in touch with someone higher up, it's ecorporateoffices.com. And you can also
ecorporateoffices.com. Okay.
Yes, ecorporateoffices.com. Plug in the name of the company, and it'll tell you where their home office is, their actual phone number, not the 800 number to their customer service center, but the actual phone number, and then. There's things like misdialing, phone trees and stuff that you can bypass and get through if you know a couple tactics.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Nick and I have had some conversations about that. Also, scour the company websites for someone higher up in the chain, like the VP of Guest Services in the corporate level. Look under like investor relations, the company governance, all kinds of stuff to find out a name to ask for and try to find out their extensions. And try to get in touch directly with them. I could go on a whole training session of how to get to the person that you want to speak to, probably off air, because I'm sure that we don't want to publicly broadcast some of the tips and tricks, or then they'd start changing their systems that we cannot get through. But that's definitely a website if you want to get in touch with a corporate office and bypass the 800 number minion that's just sitting there taking complaints about coupons and stuff like that. It'll get you a little higher up in the totem pole and bypass the scripted answers that you would get based on the reason why you're calling.
Yeah.
And that's a great one. I'm sure we can bring up some of this in our conference later after the show. But I definitely want to keep the floor open to our guests today. So Lava, Nick, and we're having a great show. So. I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad for that information. I wrote it down right quick, too.
Great. So we have about 5 minutes left. Any final thoughts? Any Anything interesting cooking? Anything for the up and coming year?
I had a couple of things, but I'm going to hold off because, one, we have a couple of others that are in, and also I'm going to get the town hall meeting number ready, so I'm going to drop and let everybody else finish up here.
Okay. That works.
All right, so everybody that's listening in that wants to join us, or the number to the free conference call is on the Barefoot is Legal Facebook group, and just punch in the code number afterwards, and the prompts will get you to our meeting, and we'll start in just a few minutes. Thanks,
so
everybody.
That'd be great. Proof, great
it's
having you on
start.
The show as always. And so, Nick, we were talking about some of the letter writing campaigns and some of the progress you're making with the Mall of America. Who are they owned by, just out of curiosity? Were we able to find that out yet?
Yes, they are owned by their own company. For instance, Simon is a conglomerate that owns dozens of malls across America. The Mall of America is its own entity. It's owned by its own company, so it stays right
that
here locally in the Twin Cities. Yes, so it's not a huge conglomerate. I know that there's another conglomerate out of North Carolina, and I can't remember their name offhand. But generally your local mall in your area is probably owned by somebody who owns 50 malls.
General
Mall of
Growth Properties
is their own deal.
Was a big one that
Which
owns
one?
A lot of malls. General Growth Properties. I've done some legal work against them, and I can't go too far into detail because there's still one more pending case. But I was just wondering if maybe they were part of them, and I was going to Google it at some point later today or tomorrow when I had a chance just to see if that was anything. But it seems like if they're their own entity, that's great, and it seems like we're going to get someplace a lot quicker with them than going up against one of those large property management companies, and that's great to hear.
The security administration gave me the contact information for the vice president of the Mall of America.
Great.
So that I thought that was pretty cool.
That's great.
Yeah.
So
couple other ones that I worked on. I got some responses from our local Cub Foods, who is owned by Super Value, and I think Super Value also controls Saves a Lot.
Saves a Lot.
With that chain also. I got a flat out no. They're not willing to budge whatsoever. So I've decided I will not be shopping at Cub Foods any longer, and I'm very excited for the local Hy-Vee to open up a mile away.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, Save-A-Lot's one of those companies. Save-A-Lot just recently moved into the neighborhood that I'm in. And there's also an Aldi's. And they almost seem like they're the same price discount, off-brand, own brand, but they also carry a couple name brands that they put on their shelf. You know, the no shopping bags, bring your own boxes or take a box off the shelf to put your groceries in when you're done. Very stripped down, minimal, limited inventory product, their own branding. On certain things, of course, manufactured by the big companies. And it was funny when they first opened, I was shopping there, never an issue. One day, and I told the story, after 6 years of shopping at a local Aldi, some manager came up with, I think he probably forgot to take the hanger out of his shirt before he went to work that day. And he was just feeling a little uncomfortable and a little pugnacious and decided to have an issue. And I said, you know what, after 6 years, do you know that Save-A-Lot just opened up 5 blocks the other way? I'm right in the middle. And long story short, he apologized to me and, you know, after an exchange, and never an issue since. But it was kind of funny. I mean, once you put the competition in the market and like you said, you took your business elsewhere. And that's interesting about the Save-A-Lot concept. Never had a problem there at all in all the different Save-A-Lots I've been to. But that's something we should definitely jump on as well. And I did share a letter with you about that. So we're definitely going to bring this up. And Nick, hang around. I'm sure you're going to be at the conference call here in a little bit.
Yep.
We are out of time for this week. And thank you for everything that you do for the Barefoot is Legal group. And Lava, I know we're out of time.
Yes.
I don't know. You want to close out the show or
oh,
you
no,
have any final words?
All
right.
Go barefoot everywhere. It's legal.
Go bare. There you go. Go barefoot everywhere. And you heard it right there from the potentially the new host of the barefoot, well, new co-host of the barefoot. I'm not going to fire myself. The new Barefoot is Legal radio show. Until next week, we are out of time. So I hope everybody has a wonderful, happy, and safe barefoot week until we meet again, or just enjoy your barefoot lifestyle overall. For everybody that called in today, everybody that's ever sat in this seat, for anybody that's ever stood behind the microphone, my name is Nick Pierce. Thanks for tuning in to the Barefoot is Legal radio show. Thanks for listening. Thanks to all our sponsors, Proof, and all of our other guests on the show today. Don't forget about Sierra's book. Check it out on Amazon, A Brief Guide to Barefooting. And until next week, everybody, be happy, safe, and barefoot.